We've come to our last night in our Vacation Bible School, and I hope our studies have been beneficial. The whole VBS has been using the Apologetics Press material, and if you're not familiar with Apologetics Press, they are a tremendous organization up in Montgomery, Alabama, that just puts out so much good material. If you're not on their Monday email update, just go to their website and say, you get a lot of spam. Anybody get spam email? I mean, like daily, right? But you will want this email. It comes out every Monday. It has the updates that they have to their website. The content continues to grow on their website. And they hired a man about 4 or 5 years ago to write his specific, one of his specific tasks was to write, to illustrate, to put together complete packages of Vacation Bible School material, and does a tremendous job. And so we've been going through that material, looking at the evidence for the creation of God. And I hope that as we've gone through this, that your faith has been increased. Some of this stuff you've heard before. Probably most of this stuff maybe you've heard before. And you're like, okay, I know this. But the more you hear it, and the more you realize, wait a minute. This is that we're not just talking about things. We're not making things up. This is the solid evidence that is out there. Evolution. You know how much evidence evolution has to go for it? You know how much evidence there is that the Big Bang happened 13.8 billion years ago? You know how much evidence there is for that? Zero. It's not there. But how much evidence do you have that there is an all-powerful God that made everything around us? You've got a universe full of evidence. And so we've talked about human evolution, the progression, or the supposed progression from the single-celled organism up to the multi-cell complex organisms. And we saw how there's no evidence for that. We looked at the cosmic evolution and that idea of the Big Bang, and how through that Big Bang, everything in the universe has been created, and saw, okay, there's no evidence for that. Last night, we looked at a study about the age of the Earth, That's one of the most foundational things that we've got to get in our minds, is that while everybody else seems around us to believe the world is billions of years old, it is not, and there's no evidence to show that. It's thousands of years old, and there's evidence to show that. And so we've got to get that fixed in our minds. So tonight, we're looking at the fossil record. Aren't you excited? When was the last time you just dreamed about the fossil record? You're like, yes, we're going to talk about the fossil record. But here's the thing. Do you remember, and we're going to show a picture here in a minute. You remember being in school and seeing diagrams of the fossil record, the geologic timetable, and shows you where all of these fossils have been found in all of these layers of Earth. Do you know where they came up with that geological timetable with all of those layers and fossils? You know where they came up with it? In their imagination. That's where they came up with it. You know how much evidence there is for that geologic timetable with all of the fancy names they have for it, and the billions of years, or the billions and millions of years on it, there's zero evidence. They made it. I'm serious. They made it up, and we're gonna see that tonight. The reality is that while evolutionists talk about the fossil record, and while they've drawn this pretty picture of what they think the fossil record looks like, they run away from it when they begin to be questioned on it, because it doesn't supply any support for evolution. Just the opposite. It supplies all sorts of evidence for creation. So I should have put that up there, but does the fossil record support evolution or creation? Well, you be the judge. Let's walk through some of this. Anytime you come to this scientific method, you've got to state, it's not a hypotenuse, right? It's a hypothesis. That's what you said, Nicole, right? So here you've got this hypothesis. You've got to be able to say, you've got to, when you come to the scientific method, you've got to be able to say, make some predictions. Here's what we suppose would be the case if this were true. So if evolution is true, okay, did you see the word F? If evolution were true, what sort of predictions could be made? What sort of things would be supposed that there would be found within this fossil record? Number one, you would expect in the fossil record, if evolution's true, that at the base, at the very bottom layer of the evolutionary fossil record, you would expect there to be just the single-celled organisms. And as you progress up, that fossil record, you would expect the organisms to become more complex. Wouldn't you expect that? Because if that's how we evolved, you'd expect to find single-celled organisms down at the bottom, and then they gradually become more complex. Guess what you find in the fossil record? Nothing like that. But that would have to be the case if evolution was true. If evolution is true and you're looking at all of these fossils that are in these that have been found, you would expect to find billions of transitional fossils. Here we go from single cell to multi-millions of cells. How do you get there? One species at a time. So where are all the fossils for those transitions from one species to the next species to the next species to get over to humans? You would expect in the fossil record, there's got to be billions of those transitional fossils that are going to prove evolution, right? Well, if evolution is true, you would expect that to be there. You would predict they have to be in there. Guess how many you find? You keep holding up zeros. You're right. There's none of those either. If evolution is true, another prediction that you would make, remember the survival of the fittest, right? And this kind of goes along with the first one a little bit as well. But survival of the fittest states that, you know, as these species, as these creatures continue to evolve, they get better and better and better. And so they become more and more fit. So the survival of the fittest would indicate, as you look at this supposed fossil record that they want us to see, is that extinction of species throughout this time would show that as one species evolved into another, well, that one that it evolved from would go extinct, right? Wouldn't that make sense? If it's evolving and becoming better, that previous species would just become extinct and no longer exist. That's what would have to happen. And you should be able to see that in the fossil record if evolution's true. Guess what you don't see? You don't see any of that. Isn't that interesting? The things that should be in there to prove evolution are not in there. Okay, what if creation is true? If creation is true, what sort of predictions should you be able to make that you should be able to find in the fossil record if creation is true? Well, what you're going to find, what you would expect to find in the fossil record is that it is more a record of death than it is of life. Here's something I want you to think about, and it's something I didn't even think about or realize when I was a kid. How are fossils formed? Does something just die and all of a sudden it becomes a fossil? If you take your neighbor's dog, all right, we won't make it personal. You take your neighbor's dog and your neighbor's dog has died and you bury your neighbor's dog. Is that impersonal now? And you've buried your neighbor's dog in the ground. Is that going to become a fossil? No, it's not going to become a fossil. It's going to happen to your neighbor's dog, the same thing that happens to every living creature that's put down in the ground. It's going to decompose. Okay, so no fossil. Where do fossils come from? Do you know that fossil formation is very rare? There have to be certain circumstances that fall in place just right in order for fossils to be created. All right, so they don't just happen every day. There's got to be some major circumstances, some kind of a lava flow or some kind of maybe what you might think of as a worldwide flood, catastrophic event that would bring it about. So, if the Bible's true, there was a catastrophic event called the flood, then the fossil record's not going to show a bunch of life, it's going to show death. It's going to be a record of a lot of death, okay? Now, you would find a few fossils below the flood layers in the fossil record, but not many because they probably got wiped out by the flood. You would expect to find in the flood layers an equivalent of like a worldwide graveyard. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 23 says, all living things which were on the face of the earth were destroyed. Think about that. Think about how few animals there were inside of the ark. What's left? Think about the world full of animals outside. You're going to expect in the fossil record to see just a worldwide graveyard if the Bible is true. You would expect there that the fossil record would begin with an explosion of fossil forms. Because if the flood is what caused, it was that catastrophic event near the beginning of time, and it caused all of these fossils to form, you're going to expect there to be just an overwhelming number of fossils, and you're going to expect those fossils to be fully formed and functional. As if a fully healthy animal, formed and functional, died and was immediately preserved. What would cause that? Oh, a worldwide flood. Something catastrophic might cause that. You would expect, if the creation is true, that the bulk of the fossils would be in sedimentary rock because it was water that caused this to happen. You would expect in these layers of the fossil record to find both simple and complex creatures. Remember, evolution says it's got to start with the single cell simple and work its way up to complex. Creation doesn't believe that things started out simple and became complex. Creation believes every creature was created at the beginning, and so when the flood came, the mixture of these layers are going to be all sorts of creatures, both the simple and the complex. You're going to expect that those creatures that were a little bit faster and could outrun the rising waters might be found higher in the layers than they would be found lower in the layers. You would expect that if the floodwaters came from the oceans, which the Bible says they did, that the creatures found on the ocean floor would be found at the base. You would expect there to be marine fossils as it worked its way onto land. You would expect there, and I know this is a lot of information, all right? But think about which of these two options, evolution or creation, does the fossil record support? You would expect that after the flood, that there would be extinctions of animals, but they would not be found in the fossil record. Fossil record is about the flood, is about this catastrophic event that created these fossils. But if animals died off after the flood, you're not necessarily going to find fossils because, again, you got to have something catastrophic to even create the fossils. Last two. While fossils of the year-long flood would show no evidence of change throughout the year, the layers after the flood would show evidence that there was change. All right, so here's the deal. Which one of these? Which one of these is supported by the fossil? Which one of these do you suppose would be supported by the fossil record? I mean, obviously we have been leaning you in that direction already. The fossil record does not support evolution, although they want it to. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about three characteristics, and this is sort of how they would depict it. Does this remind you of some of the drawings you saw in your textbooks where they would have different names for these different layers and they would show different animals progressing? Notice how, and this is a depiction of an evolutionary idea. Remember, this is all in their imagination. They made this up. All right, I've got a different picture for you in just a minute. But notice how in the evolution, it went from very simple to the complex up at the top. That's what they assume it to be. All right, now, three characteristics of the fossil record that prove it to be, that proves creation and not evolution. The first one is called abrupt appearance. What in the world does that mean? It means that when the fossils first appear in the fossil record, they appear fully formed without any evolutionary history. Is my next picture? Yeah, all right. So this is from the Encyclopedia Britannica 2010. Who's got that at home? You got Encyclopedia Britannica 2010 holding up the wall at home? All right, so thank you, Cheryl Lynn. Cheryl Lynn's the only one that raised her hand. So this is that famous evolutionary slant on what the fossil record looks like. Now, where did they come up with this? Remind me, where did they come up with this? The imagination. You know Figment at Disney? That's where they came up with it, in their imagination. Okay, now, let me give you a closer look. So what they're saying is that coming back here 600 to 550 million years ago is when you start finding these fossils, and so the Cambrian layer, we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. The Cambrian layer is how they identify the base layer of the fossil record. Now, notice what the evolutionists put in the base layer. They put simple organisms down in the base layer in the Cambrian, and they say that these are from somewhere around 550 to 500 billion years, or million, sorry, not billion, million years ago. So as you work up, you'll notice that they become more and more complex. Where'd they come up with this? Not reality. They made this up in its entirety. What is one of the characteristics? Let me come back for a second. What's one of the characteristics that has actually been found to be true in the fossil record? That when you examine it, there is an abrupt appearance of fossils. What does that mean? That in their mind, oh, isn't this nice? We just start gradually and we go up and we get more and more complex. It's not the way it's actually seen in the fossil record. So let me give you some quotes, all right? And we've been doing quotes all week. And the point of these, none of these quotes have been from creationists. Every quote that we've used this week has been from an evolutionist. So think about that. It's evolutionists who are looking at their own information and saying, yeah, this isn't working. This doesn't hold up. All right? So about the abrupt appearance of fossils, of these fossils fully formed, notice some of these quotes. This is from University of Texas News when they were doing some research. They said, this rapid diversification, known as the Cambrian explosion. All right, remember, Cambrian is that bottom layer. But what they're saying is they're admitting there was an explosion of fully functional and formed fossils in that layer. And so what do they say? The rapid diversification, known as the Cambrian explosion, puzzled, think about that, puzzled Charles Darwin, and remains one of the biggest questions in animal evolution to this day. Very few fossils exist of organisms that could be Precambrian, before that, ancestors of bilateral animals, and even those are highly controversial. It puzzled Darwin because it's a big mystery. In the American Scientist, they said, as Darwin noted in The Origin of the Species, the abrupt emergence of arthropods in the fossil record during the Cambrian period presents a problem for evolutionary biology. Yeah, it does. There are no obvious, simpler, or intermediate forms that show convincingly how modern arthropods evolved from worm-like ancestors. What are they saying? The fossil record doesn't help us to understand how we came from worms. Isn't that horrible? Aren't you sad? Consequently, there has been a wealth of speculation and contention. Evolutionists admitting this, saying, we've had a lot of contention over this because it doesn't fit our narrative. You may recognize the name of Stephen Jay Gould. He was a Harvard evolutionary paleontologist, okay? Not a creationist, Harvard evolutionary paleontologist. He said the Cambrian explosion was the most remarkable and, uses the same word, puzzling event in the history of life. They see all of these fossils coming to life down in this bottom layer, and they're saying, no, that's 500 million years ago. Those animals aren't supposed to exist over there. And so it's puzzling to them, okay? Richard Dawkins, you've probably heard of him, evolutionary biologist at Oxford. When he was talking about the Cambrian explosion, he said, Cambrian strata of rocks that was somewhere around 600 million years, which they have actually updated that today to say, no, it was actually 540 million years, so Dawkins was off. But they say, Dawkins was saying, these are the oldest which we find, they're of the most major invertebrate groups, and we find many of them already in an advanced state of evolution. You're already finding, wait a minute, so they're not simple single-cell organisms? And the very first time they appear, they're already advanced. Isn't that interesting? So you're not seeing them in their progressive stages. You're seeing the fully formed horse. Well, where'd that fully formed horse come from? Where are those pre-stages? They're not there. And so Dawkins said, it is as though These fossils were just planted there without any evolutionary history. It's as though these animals came about without evolution. Dawkins didn't believe that, but he cannot explain it otherwise. You may have heard the name of George Gaylord Simpson, another evolutionist, and I won't give you all of his pedigree just for sake of time. But most new species, genera, and families, and nearly all categories above the levels of families appear in the record suddenly and are not led up to by known gradual, completely transitional sequences. What's his point? We got all these fossils of fully formed animals, and we have no record of their evolution. What does that tell you? Why do you continue to believe in evolution when the very place where you should find your evidence in the fossil record, where you should be able to go to, and it should be your sugar stick with all of these proofs of all of these transitional creatures, and they're saying it's not there. They're saying there was an abrupt appearance of these fully formed and functional species, but they weren't just in the Cambrian layer down at the bottom. They are all the way through the entire fossil record, from the beginning to the end. Evolution says that shouldn't happen. Evolution says the record should start simple and get more complex, but the true fossil record is, nope, they're all throughout the entire thing. So which one is it? Creation or evolution? These creatures didn't just appear there abruptly. They appeared there complex. You've probably heard about the trilobites. Trilobites are a fun little creature, and I wish we had time to talk about them. Very complex, all right? Their eyes are more complex than the human eye. Is your human eye complex? I found out in the last 2 years, these puppies are really complex, right? But they had eyes more complex than your eyes. Where have their fossils been found? Down in the very lowest layer? No, they shouldn't be down there because that's reserved for the single cell, simple. Nope, they're down there. Complex. So it wasn't just an abrupt appearance, but just an abrupt appearance of these complex creatures. I'm not going to go through this just for sake of time. You can find out more about that stuff on their website. Characteristic number two. So characteristic number one, you've got this explosion of fossils in layers of the fossil record that shouldn't be there if evolution's true. Number two characteristic is this idea of stasis. What does that mean? It means that after these creatures appeared in the fossil record, they remained virtually the same throughout the rock layers. Evolution bases their arguments on this idea of uniformitarianism, which means everything remains the same, right? If you find something in one layer of the fossil record, it should not be the same throughout the other layers of the fossil record. It should be evolving, right? It should be becoming more complex, and those earlier stages should be becoming extinct. Except a horse in this layer was, guess what? A horse in this layer. Same thing. And so this characteristic of stasis has thrown off their arguments. And so here's that chart again. Not going to go through that. Let me give you some quotes from these guys. Stephen Gould again, this Harvard evolutionary paleontologist. He says he admitted that evolutionists have no direct evidence for these smooth transitions from species to species. He said all paleontologists know that the fossil record contains precious little in the way of intermediate forms. He's actually being generous there by saying precious little. Transitions between major groups are characteristically abrupt. He went on to say the absence of fossil evidence for these intermediate stages between the major transitions of the species, and indeed our inability and even in our imagination, we can't construct functional intermediates. Think about what he's saying. I don't know if you're catching what he's saying. Do you have all those quotes, or did he just do a dot, dot, dot there? He just did a dot, dot, dot. Let me read that again. Is that up there, between major transitions and dying? No, he left it out. All right, so here's what he says. We have no record of these stages, and he says we don't even have the ability or the imagination to construct them, and it has been a persistent and nagging problem for evolution. The fossil record has been a persistent and nagging problem for evolution. He went on to say the extreme rarity of transitional forms in the fossil record persists as the trade secret. It's a secret. We don't know where they are of paleontology. We don't know what's happened to them. It's our trade secret. The evolutionary trees that adorn our textbooks, you've seen those evolutionary trees. He says the data on those at the tips and the nodes, that's there. But the rest of the tree, what is that? Wait a minute. So you're saying the stuff you put out on the tips of that is the known creatures today, and that's got evidence. But you're telling me the rest of the tree that you have created, hello, like 99% of the rest of what you have done has been made up. It is inference. There's no evidence for it in the fossils. This is an evolutionary paleontologist admitting this. And I've got tons of other quotes. We don't have time to get to these. Robert Barnes up there, I find this one fascinating. He's an evolutionary anthropologist. He said, the fossil record tells us almost nothing about the evolutionary origin of phyland classes. Intermediate forms are non-existent, undiscovered, and not recognized. There's no evidence. You look inside of the record, and there's absolutely no evidence there. Let me give you one more quote from a couple evolutionary biologists named James Valentine and Douglas Irwin. If we ever were to expect to find ancestors, oh, this is where our ancestors should be. Have you all done the ancestor search? Send in your blood, find out your ancestors. Do you have horse in you? Do you have pig? Do you have amphibian in you? Did it come back amphibian? What level of amphibian are you when you got your blood test back? So if we were ever to find ancestors and the intermediates in between the species, it would be in the rocks. It should be in the rocks of the Precambrian, even from the early stages and all the way up. And I'm going to show you where this stage is in the Ordovician times. That's where the bulk should be. But look at what he says. Transitional alliances are unknown and unconfirmed. In other words, we can't find any. No real evolutionist. This is from Mark Ridley from Oxford University, evolutionary zoologist. No real evolutionist uses the fossil record as evidence to prove evolution. Why don't they use it? Because it doesn't support evolution. Except they've made up that timetable. They've made up that geologic timetable that's in every one of your public school science textbooks. Where'd they get it? Imagination. They made it up. There is no evidence to support it. Let me give you, how much time we got? Very little. I love these quotes from Charles Darwin. He's the guy, right? It's not just evolution that we talk about. It's Darwinian evolution. He's the father of it. The number of intermediate varieties, again, from stage to stage in these species, you ought to see these, how do we evolve? The number of intermediate varieties which have formerly existed, he says they existed, must be truly enormous. In order to go from one single cell to two cells to three cells, in order to make all of these, I guess two to four if you're being accurate, make all of these progressions, you got to have intermediate stages. He says the number of those, the volume, that's got to be massive. There's got to be so many of those out there. Well, why then is it not every geological formation and every stratum is full of them? Why isn't every one of them full of them? Here's his answer. Geology assuredly does not reveal any such finely graduated organic change. And this, perhaps, is the most obvious and serious objection which can be argued against this theory of evolution. You want to argue back against the theory of evolution? Charles Darwin just told you what the strongest argument is you can use. The fossil record. Just use the fossil record. Take all of this evidence about the fossil record back to them and say, nope, there is no support for it. All right, we're going to skip to the last, lots of good stuff in here about vertebrates and invertebrates. Living fossils, you know what living fossils are? That's like a contradiction in terms, right? How can a fossil be living? Living fossils are, well, here's a list of fossils, supposedly, that they said went extinct. Here are a list of creatures, okay, that went extinct anywhere from 20 million years ago to, what's the highest number, 500 million years ago. These are creatures that supposedly went extinct all that time ago, and so we have found their fossils, except why are we talking about living fossils? Well, because they're supposed to be extinct, but we still found some alive. You know, they're supposed to... You ever heard of somebody writing somebody's obituary before they actually died? That's kind of mean, right? That's basically what they've done. They've written the obituary for these creatures. Oh, they're extinct, and yet they have been found alive and still there. What does all of this prove? It all proves creation. Doesn't prove evolution. Real quick, characteristic number three. I hope some of this, I know we're rushing through this like mad. I hope some of it's sinking in. Characteristic number three about the fossil record is this idea of extinction. Obviously, evolution points to the survival of the fittest, and so you would expect there to be some kind of extinction in evolution of the non-fittest, the ones that didn't make the cut, right? The ones that didn't survive, you would expect them to, but that's not what happens. What happens in extinction in the fossil record is not the stages of the evolution, it's mass extinctions that result because of a catastrophic phenomenon known as the flood. Evolutionists believe that there were five mass extinctions over the time. They've got various names for these mass extinctions. They've got time frames from anywhere from 445 million years ago. There was a mass extinction where 60 to 70% of the Earth's species went extinct. By the way, that wasn't you because you weren't around until about 2 million years ago. So that wasn't you at all. But 60 to 70% went in that one, 75% went in this one, 95% went in that one, 70. So you see all these percentages. So it goes anywhere from 65 million up to 445 million years ago where all these mass extinctions that happened. This is the next chart. Causes are unknown. Let me get to this next chart. All right, so here's their supposed going from simple to more complex. Guess what creation shows us? Look at this period right here in this block, and I know you can't read this, but over here on the side it says biblical flood that lasted for 1 year. When you have a worldwide global flood that wipes out everything on the face of the earth, is that going to cause extinctions? Yeah, it's going to cause extinctions. Would it possibly cause extinctions at various levels, at various time frames during that year? How long did it take for certain creatures to die out? How long did it take for the floodwaters to shift in such a way that it created these fossil graveyards that we have today? And so the point of the creationist model is not that there were five different, I mean, I'm going backwards, not that there were five different mass extinction events, but that all of these events that they claim are all of these years ago, that all of these events, sorry, I'm pushing the wrong button here, all of these events happened during this same period right here. See, they say it's 4.5 million years ago up to about 60 million years ago. Well, those dates don't hold, and we learned that last night. Because their dating methods don't hold. But would that not make sense for that to be happening during the flood? That it's during the flood that there's these catastrophic events that wipe out everything on the face of the earth, that cause all of these mass extinctions, that leave us all of these fossils that are all jumbled inside of this fossil record. And by the way, real quick, where have they found dinosaur fossils? All throughout the layers. Wait a minute, I thought they should only be in one because they went, no. They're all throughout the layers. Because dinosaurs did not go extinct millions of years before humans ever came into existence. Dinosaurs and humans were both created by God on day six. They were coexistent at the time. So here's the deal about this matter of the fossil record. There is no support for it in evolution. Evolutionists run away from it, but it is fully supported by creation. Yes?
Haven't they found dinosaurs and human fossils in the same layers?
Yes. Yes. There have been, and the reports on it are various, but there have been reports of human and dinosaurs found in the same layers. Yeah. Thank you all. I know this is just a gob of information. It's like drinking out of a fire hose. Hopefully what we've gained from the last few nights is just a reaffirmation that God created this world. This world has not evolved. We have not evolved. What we read in Genesis 1 about creation, what we read about God throughout the Bible is that He made this world. He made everything in it in 6 days. He flooded the earth because of sin. What should that tell us? I need to make sure I'm right with God. And that was Peter's point in bringing up the flood in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in 2 Peter chapter 3. He brought up the flood to say, we better make sure that we're right with God so that when our time comes, whether it be our end of our life or the end of this world, that we're ready to meet the Lord. Thank you all very much for being here tonight. You are dismissed.